भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So there are three verses for today. Text number two, text number three, they don't have a purport. And then we go on to text number four, which is on the board. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3. Yamaraj instructs his messengers. And I'll just read text 2 and 3 and then we'll do text number 4 responsively. Text number 2. Yamasya devasya nadanda banga kutaschanashe shutapurva asit etan mune vrishyati loka samsayam nahi tvadanya iti me vinishchitam. Translation. So in this translation, to put it in the context, Maharaj Parikshit is addressing Sukadeva Goswami, and he says, O great sage, never before has it been heard anywhere that an order from Yamaraj has been baffled. Therefore, I think that people will have doubts about this that no one but you can eradicate. Since that is my firm conviction, kindly explain the reasons for these events. Text 3. Shri Sukha Uvacha Bhagavat Purushai Rajan Yamya Prati Hatod Yama Patim Vigya Payam Asu Yamam Samya Mani Patim. Translation. Shri Sukadev Goswami replied, My dear King, when the order carriers of Yamaraj were baffled and defeated by the order carriers of Vishnu, they approached their master, the controller of Samya Manipuri and the master of sinful persons, to tell him of this incident. So we get to text number 4, which is on the board. We can repeat after me. Yamaduta uchu Kati santi asastaro Jiva lokasya vai prabhu Trividyam kuruvata karma Fala bivyakti hetava Yamaduta uchu Kati santiha shastaro Jiva lokasya vai prabhu Trividyam kurvata kama Fala bi vyakti hetava Yamaduta uchu Kati santi hashtaro jiva lokasya vai prabhu trividyam kurvata karma phala bivyakti hetava. Matajis, Vaishnavis. Word for word, Yamaduta Uchu. The order carriers of Yamaraj said, Kati, how many Shanti are there Iha in this world? Shastaraha, controllers or rulers, Jivalokasya, of this material world. Vai, indeed, Prabhu, O Master, Trividyam, under the three modes of material nature, Kurvataha, performing karma, activity, phala, of the results, abhivyakti, of the manifestation, etava, causes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The Yamadutas said, "Our dear Lord, how many controllers or rulers are there in this material world? How many causes are responsible for manifesting the various results of activities performed under the three modes of material nature, sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun?" Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, were so disappointed that they asked their master, almost in great anger, whether there are many masters other than him. Furthermore, because the Yamadutas had been defeated and their master could not protect them, they were inclined to say that there was no need to serve such a master. If a servant cannot carry out the orders of his master without being defeated, then what is the use of serving such a powerless master? Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk here in Juhu Beach, and he noticed that the morning walkers were having some dogs. You know, they walk with their dog. And also he noticed that some of the others, dogs, was having no master, like that. So he pointed out to the dogs that were with master on a leash, and the dogs that were with master on a leash, they were very happy. Very happy, they were well groomed, you can see well fed and healthy with the master, like that. So he said, "See, sanata. Sanata means N-A-T-H-A. Sanata means, see, with master. with Master. Then he walked further and then he pointed out some stray dogs. Like that. Stray dogs. And he said, see, anatta, without Master. Like that. And what is the difference? That the dogs that were without Master were, you know, skinny, disrepaired, and, you know, not well fed, not well cared for, like that, looking a little bit dirty, and so forth, without Master. Anatta, without Master. And he said, see, the other dog, Sanatta, with Master. Like that. And then he said, this is what happens to the living entity. If he's without Master, he is in a deplorable condition, miserable, like that. And without Master also means that nobody cares for you. Nobody cares for you. You know, like you see a stray dog yourself, he says, go away. You know, you'll hush it away, like that. But if you see a dog with Master, you will not say that because the Master is there. You will not say that. The Master is there. And you may, you know, then the Master will take care if the dog is coming close to you. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is our position in the material world. Like that stray dog without Master. But when we come to spiritual life, we have to be like the other dog, with Master, you know, well-fed, well-groomed, and taken care of. At the same time, with Master indicates there's a leash that you are under, not control. You are under control, not really under control, but you are under care, affection, and protection. Like that, under care, affection, and protection. So, in a similar way, when we are connected to the Guru Parampara, we also see that, of course, a dog may have one master, and the analogy that Prabhupada gives us sort of has its restrictions. And usually analogies are a bit crude. In other words, he's had some restrictions for the actual absolute point, like that. But we see when we say, you know, Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. So there are three features here of actually having, in a sense, masters to serve. You know, there are the Vaishnavas, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. And amongst the Vaishnavas that one serves, there are gurus. That means there is more than one. There are Shiksha gurus, more than one, like that. And amongst the Shiksha gurus, there may be Vandeham Shri Guru, that may be principal Shiksha guru who has the most potency and who has the most close relationship with you in terms of assisting one to advance. So there are three features of shelter, in other words, the Vaishnavas, and amongst the Vaishnavas, Shiksha Gurus, and amongst the Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. In other words, amongst the Shiksha Guru, Diksha Gurus. So from the Vaishnavas are born in one's life, Shiksha Gurus. And from the Shiksha Gurus are born in one's life, Diksha Guru. In other words, it comes from that way. For practically almost all of us, in that sense, like that. So for us in ISKCON, on a very practical level, like that, in one sense, under some discussion, maybe not entirely in an absolute level, but in under discussion in a practical level, as and it can be added or adjusted in that sense. In one sense, for us in ISKCON, from a point of having masters, we have three sources of shelter. Three sources of shelter in a principal way. Of course, the principal shelter for everyone, including for generations to come, if it's for the next 10,000 years, so long as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is prevalent and predominant, and the principal source of shelter is Srila Prabhupada himself. And coming from Srila Prabhupada is other two shelters, Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Guru, in that sense. So these are the three sources of shelter, Shiksha Gurus, Diksha Guru, and Srila Prabhupada. Now, in terms of a relationship and faith, one may have more relationship and faith in one than the other. Like one may have more relationship and faith in the Diksha Guru, but still have relationship and faith in the Shiksha Gurus and Srila Prabhupada. One may have more relationship and faith with Srila Prabhupada, and still have relationship and faith with the Diksha Gurus and the Shiksha Gurus. One may have more relationship and faith with the Shiksha Gurus, and still have relationship and faith with the Diksha Guru and Srila Prabhupada. So it varies for devotees in different ways. It varies. But still, on the basis of shelter, these three principal, shelters should be present, in one's spiritual development and ongoing relationship and faith in that way. The aspect here given by the Yamadutas in terms of Yamaraj is that they had a service to do. They're practically like disciples, and they have a service to do to their master, Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, like that. But the service was hampered. The service was, was stopped in many ways. Service was hampered and service was stopped. And they became agitated. They became angry at the master. We have to serve you and we have to serve according to your instructions. But why is this? Why we have been stopped? Why somebody is stopping the process of dharma? If somebody deserves punishment, they should be punished, and this is our service. Why this should be there? Like that. So, in the same way, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he didn't have direct, access to Srila Prabhupada. He didn't have direct access to Srila Prabhupada. He was doing something, and in the eyes of the, close disciples of Srila Prabhupada who had easy access to him, like that, they told Srila Prabhupada his situation. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, then you tell him to do like this. This is my instruction. Tell him to do like this. This is my instruction. Like that. So when that particular disciple received the sort of instruction from Srila Prabhupada via the other devotees who were close to Srila Prabhupada, and so forth, he became very disappointed. He actually became disappointed with Srila Prabhupada. He said, I'm serving Srila Prabhupada, but how can he give me this order which changes things for me. I'm not giving the particular situation because I forget the details, like that, which changes things like that. And at the same time, it was very difficult for him to have access to Srila Prabhupada, like that. So somehow, after some time, he waited for the opportunity where he could directly go to Prabhupada. You know, he waited for that opportunity. And then eventually he saw the chance and he approached Srila Prabhupada directly. Srila Prabhupada, you told me to do like this, you know, via the secretaries or the servants, like that. And I'm not happy with this, I'm disappointed. You know, what should I do? Like that. So then Srila Prabhupada asked him, why? So he explained his situation much more clearly. He explained his situation much more clearly. And then Srila Prabhupada picked up, there was an attitude of not liking, from the senior devotees who were with Srila Prabhupada in relation to this devotee. So when Srila Prabhupada heard the whole thing, he immediately changed its instruction. He said, okay, now you do like this. And the devotee became very happy. Do like this, became very happy. So the same thing here, that the Yamadutas were disappointed with the master. But, you know, feeling disappointment is not bad. It's not like an abnormal situation, you know, of the emotions of the heart in relation to one's master. It's not bad. Feeling disappointed is not bad. So sometimes when we receive an instruction and we are not happy with it, then we should go to the master, like they have done. We should go to the master and say, you know, why this is the situation. You know, please clarify. And then the master will adjust the situation. In many times also, sometimes an instruction is given to a disciple from a superior, but to follow the instruction may be beyond the present consciousness of the disciple. Maybe beyond the present consciousness of the disciple. Although we know that the potency to follow an instruction comes with following the instruction itself. In other words, when an instruction is given, together with it, the potency to follow comes with it too. Like that. So if one is not able to follow for the present moment a particular instruction that is given and maybe becomes disappointed that, you know, how can I do this? You know, how can I do this? So one should approach the master or the person who has given you the instruction and say, look, for the present I cannot do this. Then it can be adjusted. But in due course of time, due to the adjustment of the instruction, later on, as that disciple becomes more purified and more with more realization and with more experience in Krishna consciousness, then that former instruction originally was there, he would be able to carry it out like that. Srila Prabhupada, in his humility, he gave a similar example of himself. And when he met his Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922, like that. And we are aware of the exchange between them, where immediately without, you know, finding out more about Srila Prabhupada and so forth, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that he is a young man, you know, who knows English well, and he would be able to do like that. And immediately instructed, you know, you should preach in the English-speaking language in the Western world, to that effect. Then Srila Prabhupada at that time felt, how? You know, it's such a broad and such an immense instruction of responsibility. The instruction is an immense responsibility. How? Like that. Then Srila Prabhupada, in his intelligent way at that time, he said, but you know, India is not liberated from foreign rule. First that. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, emphasized, no, we cannot wait for such thing. We cannot wait for politics. This is so urgent that one should immediately go and preach in the English-speaking language, like that. So when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, eventually, and ISKCON was well established worldwide, then one of his disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual master gave you the instruction in 1922. But you only came to the West in 1965. That's 43 years later, which is a long time to execute the instruction. Which is a long time. And in a wonderful way, you know, we have the Lilamrita, the first volume, a lifetime in preparation. You know, in that sense. But 43 years it took Srila Prabhupada. So they asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, what took you so long? Why did it take you 43 years to make up, you know, to make up the consciousness and come to the West? Why took you so long? And then we see also, you know, from 1966 to 1977, in the expanse of 11 short years, compared to the 43 years of receiving the instruction, Prabhupada, you know, expanded and preached all over the world, traveling the globe 14 times or so. What, 12, 14 times, traveling the globe, like that. See, in the expanse of 11 years. And 11 years compared to 43 years in India. So, like that. So Srila Prabhupada, he replied. In all humility, he said that, yes, the spiritual master's instruction may be suspended, but never ever neglected. Such a beautiful thing. Spiritual master's instruction may be suspended, but never ever neglected. So that's the answer he gave, why it took him 43 years to come. But he always had that instruction, and then he came to the Western world and spread Krishna consciousness. So similarly for us, if we get some instructions through the disciplic succession, you know, even coming down practically from the temple president and department heads, you know, practically three types of authority on a practical level, you know, one's spiritual authority, one's service authority, and one's ashram authority. Like that. And in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, in his manifest presence during his time in ISKCON, and also after he has left in the early 80s, I know when I joined at that time, you know, we were very much cared for, you know, by a spiritual authority, by an ashram authority, and by a service authority. We were very much cared for like that. And that may not be so prevalent in the, you know, in the growth of ISKCON in the late 80s and up till now, because of the congregational development of devotees. Devotees are devotees, but they live at home and they're considered like congregation in that sense. So it is nice for the congregation also to have some sense of ashram experience and training. Like come on a Friday evening and leave on a Sunday afternoon and try to, you know, get into the aspect of having some spiritual authority on an ongoing basis on a localized level, not necessarily, you know, in terms of one's Diksha Guru, because that may not be so easily available for you all the time on a practical level. And have a sense of an ashram authority and have a sense of a practical, you know, service authority. So these types of three authorities will keep you under, you know, care, affection and protection, based on that, one will naturally want to feel sheltered. One will naturally want to feel sheltered. And in that same way, Srila Prabhupada manifested that in his time, you know, when he was with us on the planet. Like, you know, he may have had contact, direct contact and direct training with something like, you know, to give it an educated guess figure, out of the 4,000 disciples initiated, he may have done 10% of that, maybe 400 of his disciples where he had more closer contact and personal training and so forth. So what about the others who were there? You know, there was his representatives, the temple president, traveling sannyasis, GBC members, you know, spiritual authorities locally, service authorities, ashram authorities, and so forth. So Prabhupada also managed the society like that. So in the same way we can manage even now. And therefore the actual thing is to have the sanatha, wood master, sanatha. One must be under, you know, care. One must be under shelter for these aspects like that. And within that, there may be some, you could say in one sense, different emotions that are felt, like in the sense of the Yamadutas. And if you're disappointed with your master, then approach the master. But don't give up. Don't become anatta. Don't become without master. Don't give up. Don't become anatta. Always stay with master, even if there's disappointment. And in the disappointment, one can discuss with the master why this is happening. And then one's doubts can be cleared and one can clarify further. So do we have any comments or questions? Or there are, you know, many experienced and devotees who are full of realizations in our midst. We have our Bhakta Rupa Prabhu here, you know, humbly there. So if you can share your humility and realizations, you're welcome. Devaki Nandan, Jagjivan Prabhu, even our Braja Hari, who doesn't speak much, but it's nice if he can share. Any comments or questions? Okay, Devaki Nandan Prabhu.
I have a question and a comment. Which one should I say first?
We'll take the comment so that I can get some potency to respond to your question.
Well, here certainly the Yamdutas were very, very, very upset.
Yes.
And in that upset condition they have approached him, one way challenging. But same time they have not forgot their etiquette. Therefore they addressed him as Prabhu. Prabhu means one who knows, saksham, he knows everything. And same time respect. Here it said, he the one who gives the punishment of the people, karma phala ahibhyakti hetava. He the.
Yes.
Now the same word jama means twin. Jama means twin. So in creation, first twin child were born from sun god. One was Sunny and other was Jama. Two brother. And I had one sister, Jami, that is Jamuna. So Sunny gives the punishment to the people, to human being. Both of them for human being, not for animal. For human being. So Sunny gives punishment to the people who are alive like us. We get punishment. Sunny graha aa gaya hai.
Okay.
So Sunny gives punishment when we are alive. And Jama gave punishment after the death, but according to karma. So that was my comment. My question is totally different than this thing.
Okay.
You mentioned that, somebody maybe, I may forget the exact word, but you're talking about Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru and Prabhupada position. And he said somebody may have more loyalty or something to...
No, not loyalty. They're connected to all
three. Okay, connected, yes.
To all three, but
Yeah.
One may be more prominent.
Yes, one may be
more. But they connected to all three.
It is very difficult for me to understand this point. Can you, or somebody here can give more light? I mean, more connected to Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, and giving Prabhupada in the same platform. I have difficulty to understand this point.
We discussed this in a course called, which I teach also, given by the Guru Services Committee, called ISKCON Disciples Course. We discuss it's like given by the GBC body for the education and training of the devotees, especially those who want to take, you know, initiation. It's there in those discussions. So the conclusion is that, which is not an absolute conclusion, it's under discussion of how to assist devotees to be under shelter, basically, like that. So given Srila Prabhupada's preeminent position in ISKCON, even for generations to come, like that, at the same time, how to connect to Srila Prabhupada by having faith and relationships through for Prabhupada's followers. So that's the system of Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. But at the same time, the Shiksha Guru and the Diksha, Shiksha Gurus, more than one, and the Diksha Guru exist due to the effect of having the founder Acharya, you know, as the basis of foundation, as the foundational personality for everyone in the next 10,000 years, even for now present. The reason why the this has come up is because ISKCON has an historical record. It has an historical record. And the historical record is that, you know, sometimes one's spiritual authority or guru, whether Diksha or Shiksha Guru, they may fall into some difficulty spiritually, you know, like that. And then the disciples or the followers, they may lose, you know, faith, and there's no relationship because the person has become spiritually weak, like that. And at the same time, there's another reason for that. You know, we have Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus in ISKCON who were in good standing and have left the planet. And have left the planet. Like that. So therefore, how to sustain the process of still being under shelter for the disciples or for the followers when these two things happen? How to sustain that? Like that. We found that even during Srila Prabhupada's time, a few days ago, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were here and he was giving Bhagavatam class. And in the class, we heard, his name is Drista. What? Drista, right? Yeah. He and his good wife was here a few days ago and he was giving class. So in the class, I heard a nice thing he said, a very nice thing he said. He gave two incidents. One is that he said that one sannyasi during Srila Prabhupada's time left his ashram, like that. And after some time of leaving, Srila Prabhupada received a package, you know, a package in the mail. And the package was very long. So when Srila Prabhupada opened the package, he found a danda. So the disciple, he returned the danda back to Srila Prabhupada. See, it's like this belongs to you because you gave it to me. Like that. And then Srila Prabhupada sort of commented, he said that at least he's responsible enough to, you know, return back the danda. In other words, he's responsible to return back the danda. Like that. So although giving shelter is there, and they have shelter of Srila Prabhupada and you know, shelter of Shiksha Gurus in the form of you know, temple presidents and visiting sannyasis and GBC members and other senior devotees, like that. But still, they do not want to take the shelter. But so from the person who's ultimately, in a sense, of course, the ultimate shelter is Krishna, coming in disciplic succession for us in ISKCON, in terms of spiritual authority, the ultimate shelter is Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada still wants to give shelter because he appreciated the person returning the danda. He was responsible. Then he gave another example, Drishta Prabhu, which was quite amazing for me. I mean, when I heard it and I thought about it, it was quite amazing for me. He said that during Srila Prabhupada's time, when the movement was quite developed, I think he said 1973, 1974, like that, you know, he mentioned that many devotees, after taking initiation, you know, like left. They just left Srila Prabhupada without saying anything. Like that, many devotees left. And after speaking to him later on, the effect was that although they left, and the other disciples of Srila Prabhupada were in good standing spiritually, they used to see them. You know, when they go out on Sankirtan or Harinam, they used to see them. Like that. And then news used to come through them, oh, what you're doing. You know, you left, but what are you doing? You know, you're breaking the principles and things about what are you doing? Like that. So then they'll come back to Srila Prabhupada and tell him, you know, that person left Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was a nice devotee, but I saw him doing this, I saw him doing that. So they'll come and report to Srila Prabhupada when they see the devotees who have left, like that. So then one disciple, he was quite concerned that, you know, devotees were being initiated, but they're leaving at the same time, some of them. So he approached Srila Prabhupada. And then he said, Srila Prabhupada, that, you know, many are being initiated, but many are also leaving. Why? Like, why? Like that. So Srila Prabhupada replied, you know, it's amazing. His consciousness is it's like second to none. You know, we cannot even imitate it. Srila Prabhupada replied, not many. Only a few are eating meat again. So in other words, he still regarded those who left, you know, at least they have become vegetarian. And they are still connected to me. He still regarded that, those who left. You know, he said, not many, only a few are eating meat again. So he still regarded those who left, that, you know, they're still connected to me. At least they have improved of still being a vegetarian. They may be breaking the other principles, fine, but still at least they're vegetarian. Like that. See? Then, another time, let me see, how did I hear this from the devotees? Well, the basic principle is this, that, you know, we may leave Srila Prabhupada, or one may leave the association of devotees and go back to the material world. But Srila Prabhupada and the process of devotional service will not leave that devotee. We may leave, but the process of devotional service and Srila Prabhupada will not leave that devotee. Oh yes, I wanted to say that I heard that Srila Prabhupada commented that when somebody leaves and they will eventually come back, it should be considered an accidental fall down. It should not be considered that they wanted to leave. Just by some accident they left. But you should decode it as if they had an accidental fall down and they have come back. Don't have to worry about what they did when they left. The fact is that they're coming back is more important to engage and continue in devotional service. Like that. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question fully.
No, maybe I didn't make my question clear.
Yes.
I'll try once again.
Okay.
You said that somebody may have close relationship with Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru or Prabhupada.
Yes.
Something like that.
But in one sense...
No, let me make my question clear. Otherwise, again, you will answer something else.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, relationship is the basis of doing anything. Sambandha,
exactly.
Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan.
Exactly.
Sambandha. So somebody say, well, I have relationship with my guru, my Diksha Guru, and I don't care for anybody else. I don't need anybody. My Diksha Guru is everything. Okay, Prabhupada Guru Puja, I may go, I may not go. My Guru Guru Puja, I will go. You know, Prabhupada instruction, I may follow or not follow. I follow my Guru instruction. So, because without, like Prabhupada said, if you love me, then you follow me. The following comes after the relationship.
Yes.
So, you know, I have hard time to understand this one, that putting Prabhupada also on same platform. You know, I mean, in a scan, I'm talking about institution.
Let me make it clear.
In a scan as an institution, each devotee, it's not by force, but should have relationship, you know, a strong relationship with Prabhupada. Because he is the source. From there, Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru both comes from that source. Like a sun, from sun comes the candlelight or the tube light.
Mm-hmm.
All the light comes from the sun. So this comparison, I have a little difficulty. Maybe somebody can enlighten
on me. The GBC body with some subcommittees, they have addressed this. That Prabhupada is the principal link for everyone, even for next 10,000 to come. He is above everyone else. That's clear. There's papers written to that effect. What's it called? The Prabhupada, the preeminent Shiksha Guru. There's a paper written like, and it has been released last year, in the beginning of last year's meetings in the GBC body. These papers. And there's also, you know, lines of authority paper. There's two papers that are written to support what you are saying. I don't know if you may have read those papers.
I am part of one of them.
Yes. Both papers support that Prabhupada is the preeminent. Preeminent means he's above everyone else. He's the preeminent foundational Shiksha Guru and also Diksha Guru for those who are directly initiated by him. But preeminent foundational Guru for everyone, you know, for the next 10,000 years. That has been clarified. And it's wonderful papers. I've read them myself. One is lines of authority, and the other is Prabhupada's preeminent position in ISKCON. And His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu has also written a more elaborate, has also compiled a more elaborate quotations, even from the greater section of the Gaudiya Vaishnav teachings. You know, apart from ISKCON's books, but the greater, there's a book on that also. So you can read that book. It's still, I think, being edited and finalized. Thank you. I'm not sure what time we have to stop, so they say Sunday you go a little bit more because breakfast is at 9:30. I'm not sure. Is that correct? Yeah. Is that correct? So there's a hand up on this side. Okay, just take it to the ladies first. Haribo, take the microphone to the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question. What I learned was that although we have many devotees who will instruct us in different ways, they are not necessarily called Shiksha Gurus. And the Diksha Guru is at the same time the Shiksha Guru. And that if one wants to accept a Shiksha Guru different to the Diksha Guru, then one has to ask permission of the Diksha Guru that he can accept a Shiksha
Yes.
Guru that's different. Is that in the Shastra?
Yes, that is given in... When I teach this course, it's part of it also.
Because it seems now that the mood has changed. And
let me clarify a little further than that. You know, the historical references that Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for everyone, and was the Diksha Guru during his manifest presence. He was starting a fledgling movement, new, and so forth like that, very new, you know, in the Western world, and even new for India, in that sense. So, you know, he found it appropriate that there should be more education, more training, and more experience of the devotees to take the, roles of Shiksha Guru as well as future Diksha Gurus. But at the same time, Prabhupada, gave instruction, empowered people, even if they were not qualified, to be temple presidents, you know. Even if not qualified, he gave sannyas with the hope that they'll maintain the ashram and so forth, and even with the GBC members like that. So we find that for devotees to come to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and get initiation, they are preachers. So people are preached to, and those preachers in the formative years of a new person, they take on the role of a Shiksha Guru in a sense. You know, although maybe not be qualified and experienced, by bringing the candidate up for the basic standard of initiation, which is four regulative principles and chanting minimum 16 rounds. So, in the formative years of a devotee's life, one has been helped before one actually accepts formal initiation, you know, from a Diksha Guru. And in most cases in ISKCON, there may be exceptions, but in most cases in ISKCON, most devotees come in that way. You know, they are being trained and they are being instructed by others other than that person who will initiate them, you know, eventually. So when one accepts a formal initiation from a person who is authorized to give Diksha, then the candidate should tell that person before taking initiation that these are the persons who helped me in my formative years to come to this level. So I can still take the instruction and association because they have helped me. Like that. They have helped me. But if one wants to accept another Shiksha Guru who is new after initiation, then one has to take permission and blessings from the Diksha Guru. That is there. But one does not neglect or ignore the persons who have helped him before initiation. That is also important. We see in some cases that sometimes when a person gets initiated, they forget the persons who have actually helped them to become initiated. They forget. And that could be also not nice because it also can lead to some offensive mentality of the person who actually helped you. But after initiation, one should take blessings and permission. If there's a new person in one's life that is helping you to progress spiritually. I think Devakinandan wants to contribute to the discussion.
Where does it mention that, you know, one had to take permission from Diksha Guru to accept a Shiksha Guru?
It's in my notes when we teach the course.
But in which Shastra?
Our learned Bhaktarupa says it's in Bhakti Sandarbha. I forget the reference, it's in my notes. It's in this course I teach.
Okay. Now, of course, we know that Lord Chaitanya time, yes, there were devotees who were told, you know, to go and take shelter of such and such. You know,
yes.
That time the formality of Diksha, Shiksha was totally different.
Yes.
In practical scenario today, you know, it's good you told this thing and Bhaktarupa Prabhu said, confirmed it. It is okay in Shastra, it's given Shastra. But in practical scenario today, a person, like for example, you are preaching somebody, you made somebody devotee, and you know, he became, you know, qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And according to ISKCON system, he had to take a diksha from a person, mm-hmm, whom he doesn't even know.
Agreed.
That person happened to be a guru, so he takes. Now, you know, does this apply here also?
No, we have learned from that. We have learned from historical references of the zonal acharya system that this is not the right thing. We have learned from that. And we are still learning even to the present day. In that sense. We have seen that, we have learned from that. So therefore it is important to always be under shelter, irrespective. Irrespective, and under shelter means, you know, having faith and relationship in somebody, more than one person. That is most effective. And in many cases we know, we are practically aware that, you know, somebody may be initiated, but they may not even have, you know, a close relationship with the Diksha Guru, because they have more relationship with the Shiksha Gurus who have brought them up to the point of initiation. And that continues. That continues. We should stop her.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
You know, I'll give an example. There's a sort of culture that has come up sometimes which is not really good, but we have to address it in time, like that. You know, one devotee was initiated, and I know him well, he knows me well, but I'm not sort of his authority in any way, but we just know each other. So he was so happy that he got initiated. He was so happy, you know, he was happy he got initiated. So he came and shared that with me. He said, Maharaj, you know, I'm initiated now. I said, fine. So somehow, because I know him, I asked him the question. Because I know him, if I don't know the person well, I wouldn't ask such a question based on some relationship with him, like that. So I asked him, why did you take initiation from this particular person? Like that, which is addressing your point in one sense, like that. So he said, I took initiation from this particular initiating guru because I know I don't have to be accountable. You understand the point? Because I know I don't have to be accountable. In other words, he initiated me, he knows me at the time of initiation, I know him, and that's it. So I can do whatever I want to do. Now I am a member of ISKCON Initiation. I can be independent and do whatever I want to do. This culture has entered in, and it is not nice. So then I had to explain to him, I said, you know, look, you know, you are like anatha. You know, you may seem to have a master, but you don't have one. You know, you're shelterless. He said, no, but I'm initiated, I'll do whatever I want. Like that. So that culture is not nice. We have to have shelter. We have to be cared for. We have to be protected in Krishna consciousness. And however practical that we can apply, do it. It may not necessarily be in relation to the Diksha Guru, but do it. Be under shelter. That's the principle. You know, like that. Then I'll give another example. You know, there's like an older brahmachari wearing saffron cloth, probably around, you know, 20 years in the movement, not very old, maybe early 40s, like that. And I know him well. So I go to this city, I go to that country, I go to another place, and then I see him. I said, you know, I saw you there 2 months ago, then I'm seeing you here 2 months later, then I see you there, you know, what's your service? He says, no, I'm a freelance brahmachari. He said, you know, this color of this cloth can take me anywhere. I said, but who is your service authority? Who is your ashram authority? And who is your spiritual authority? He said, I don't have such people in my life. Like that. But brahmachari is like an ongoing student. He's an ongoing student. He has to have some shelter. He has to have shelter. So then I told him straight, I said, you know, you are not a brahmachari. He said, how can you say that? You know, this culture has come in. This sort of, and I'm giving two instances, this culture has come in. Like that. So therefore it is, you know, I feel sorry. I feel sorry for such disciples. I can see in due course of time, you know, nobody knows what he's doing for 6 months. He may be somewhere in Nepal, in Kathmandu, or, you know, doing something else, and then, you know, not following the principles, and then coming back again into saffron cloth as if nothing happened. You know, or going to Goa and spending some time there, and then coming back as if nothing happened. You know, that type of thing. So it's the most wonderful feeling. To feel secure, to feel protected. It's the most wonderful feeling to feel that I am cared for, people care for me, people, you know, shelter me, like that. Most wonderful feeling. And that's needed in Krishna consciousness. That's wonderfully needed. Irrespective of whether it's from which source it's coming, but that has to be there in that sense. Is that, I just share these two examples because you know, we are concerned that, you know, especially when the Diksha Guru leaves, especially, either way, whether he's spiritually weak or leaves the planet or something, and if they only have that connection, they for sure may become spiritually weak themselves after they leave. And we see that also happened in times of Srila Prabhupada. When he left, you know, devotees, that was the only shelter in that sense, and then they became weak also. So we don't want that to happen. I believe we have to stop. 7 minutes more. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful analysis.
Can you keep the question itself and not the story?
I'm keeping the question. Coming to the contest to the today's lecture, my question is, Prabhupada has taken total shelter of his Guru, Guru Maharaj, his Sanat. But many crises Prabhupada underwent. He lost his business, he surrendered his God brothers, and he also got so many troubles to publish. But where apparently looks, Krishna didn't save him anywhere. Till he landed up in America. So it looked like Prabhupada was Sanat, apparently. Nobody supported him. So in the contest to the today's society in ISKCON, what could be my situation or anybody's situation in general is after serving few years, there's some problem, crisis come to us also, not just to Prabhupada. So it looks apparently we are not with ISKCON. We are continuing to do service. May not be in a big way, but in a small way. So how to look out to the situation at this moment?
You know, sometimes you know, we have a tendency to actually you know, feel that this is the responsibility of the GBC, this is the responsibility of the initiating guru, this is the responsibility of the Shiksha Guru. But we also have to accept responsibility for our actions and activities. Like that. To give you a practical example, which I'll conclude with, I used to visit a place called Trinidad and Guyana. Like that. So we found that, you know, ISKCON had land for a farm. You know, many acres of land. I don't know, maybe 80 or 90 acres of land for a farm, which was owned by ISKCON. Like that. So, when I was there, and then His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami, as the GBC, there, and we were there together, like that. So, you know, they want to do a farm community for devotees and so forth like that. But nobody wants to take the responsibility of developing the farm and attracting devotees to come and stay so that there's a support system for devotees. Nobody wants to take the responsibility like that. So I said, that farm should not belong to ISKCON. You should sell the farm to the devotees, and then proprietorship will turn sand into gold. And they did just that, and it's working. So we should not look up to the, you know, leadership in the organization, you know, to have a support system for ourselves, even for basic food, clothing and shelter. We should ourselves do it and help others. We should ourselves do it and help others. The moment you say this vehicle belongs to ISKCON, then nobody cares to take care of the vehicle. But the moment you say this vehicle belongs to me, then it's taken care of. See? So proprietorship turns sand into gold, like that. So we're not restricting ISKCON to just to the temples. But the temples should be a basis where the, especially those who are living in Grihastha Ashram and so forth, to learn and become, you know, independently thoughtful and responsible to create a support system for the greater congregation that is there. But as a brahmachari, you always have shelter of a brahmachari ashram. That's a little different. Because in Prabhupada's time, we will live in temples, and even up to now. But the congregation do not live in temples, so there may be a lack of immediate support system. But they can fit into a support system by helping each other, you know, in developing Krishna conscious villages and so forth on their own, which is affiliated to ISKCON and supported by the practicalities and principles that Prabhupada gives us in his books. Is that okay? For now. I'd like to end like that for now. We have to end. It's time.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Prem Anande Hari Hari Mohan.